This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Welcome to Unapologetically Bold, I'm Not Sorry For. If you are a person that is tired of apologizing for being you, you know, the human part of you that sometimes feels like it has to be different at home versus work versus play, the human side that just wants to be hot, humble, open, and transparent about your wants, desires, and uniqueness. If you answered yes, this is for you. Join me, Emily Elrod, as I dive into conversations with amazing guests about what they are not sorry for in creative and loving ways. Let's get started. Welcome, everybody, to another Unapologetically Bold, I'm Not Sorry For. And I'm pumped today because I have one of my good friends, Kevin, on.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then I want to tell people a little bit about how I know you.
Oh, wow. So, Emily, tell people, I've had a lot of titles, you know, big fancy sounding titles through the years. The titles that mean the most to me at this point in life are husband, father, papa, friend, believer, mm-hmm. believer in belonging, and gratitude guide. That's a new one. I wouldn't have called myself that a few years ago. Other people started. I had a client ask me this year, would you do a webinar for us? I'm like, sure. What would you want to do it on? Well, of course, gratitude. I'm like, oh, okay.
I love it. And those are so you. So anybody that is listening to this, if you don't get a hint at how amazing this man is by just asking him that question right there, you're missing a lot, because you are more than what you do. You are a person that cares for people. So I describe you as a connector, as somebody that cares, somebody that loves for people. You are a servant leader, and you're awesome just on top of it all. So,
well, thank you, Emily. I was in a conversation with a group last week, and we were doing different exercises, and they were, what's your superpower? And people were describing different things. And maybe it's because I've just done a little more work around this, but you used a word. And I'm like, you know, truly, I mean, people can say, oh, you're a great facilitator, and I love facilitating. But when I peel back the onion, at the core of that onion, I believe my superpower is a word you used, care. Mm-hmm. I genuinely care for people. And you can't fake that, right? Mm-hmm. So that care invites me. It compels me to do all kinds of things, connect. I love connecting with people, but why? Because I care about people. And I do care.
It's so you. And I'm so excited. And I think that also transitions very well into what this show is called, Unapologetically Bold, I'm Not Sorry For. And so, yes, in the aspect of caring, sometimes we feel like, oh, we can't say some things, or we may need to be people pleasing. But I think this one that you are going to be talking about today is very, very important. So my question for you is, what are you not sorry for?
Emily, I am not sorry for always starting the question with, what are you grateful for? And always encouraging gratitude, even in the most difficult year ever for people to be grateful.
Oh, that is so powerful, and it's so needed. And that's the one thing I want to go into, because I love the science behind it. But you do it just, it was just naturally for you. It literally is. It's like, it
wasn't always.
Well, okay. So let's start with that. When was your first time like, I need to try this gratitude thing out?
Well, you know, I used to think it was fluffy. And I guess for me, I really go back to 3 years ago when gratitude got real for me, or gratitude got serious. I was raised like you, raised in the South, and had drilled into me two sets of two words that you're always supposed to say as a child, right? You know what those are. Somebody does something for you, and what are you supposed to say? What do you say? What do you say? Thank you. Thank you. And then you know, what do you respond to that with, you're welcome, you're welcome. I remember as a kid, my mom, we were going over to stay with some friends. My mom and dad had to go out of town. I think it was just for the day. We were over at the Richardson's house, and my mom just drilled into me, remember your manners, remember your manners. Miss Richardson fixed lunch that day. And in the South, we fix lunch, okay? I know in other parts of the world, you don't fix meals, but in the South, you fix lunch. And served me a sandwich. And I looked at her, and I'm remembering this. I looked at her, and I said, you're welcome. And she goes, I think you meant thank you. And I'm like, oh, you know, whatever. But that was drilled in me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, we were hosting this, what we called the Extraordinary Experiment. 90 mm-hmm. days, 13 weeks, mm-hmm. inviting people to think, do these little bitty experiments that might, just to see, will it allow you to experience more extraordinary in life if you do these ordinary things with a little extra focus, fervor, and flair? I don't think I was quite using those words. I think I was using energy, intention at that time, but since then I've realized it's focus, fervor, and flair. And we got this 1 week we were going to do gratitude. And it was the first time in my life that I really pondered the question, is there a difference between being thankful and being grateful? And Emily, that's what launched me on this journey towards gratitude. And it just kept me going on that. But it was the first time, because I kind of thought they were synonyms. I think most people would say, oh, yeah, it's synonyms. Now, you may say, gosh, so last Wednesday, a week ago, I was up early. I'm always up early. That morning, I was drawn to etymology. Where does the word grateful come from? And it comes from the word gratis, which means to give thanks. But I found this little clip somewhere in the threads of etymology that I was reading is talking about thankful means expressing thanks. Grateful often expresses the feeling and the readiness to manifest the feeling by acts, even a long time after the receipt of the favor. And that's when it really sunk in at a different, deeper level. Like, oh, gratitude is thanksgiving that lingers longer.
Ooh, that's so good. And it's so right too, because you know me, I'm going to turn it back to my nerdiness and how the human body's designed, is that gratitude has always been called a secret weapon for me. And the reason why is that whenever you give gratitude, it actually releases oxytocin, which I call the loving grandmother of the body. And it's very interesting too, that whenever you give gratitude, you get it. Yeah. Just as much as whenever you receive it. It's that bonding, it's that connection, it's that care that we want with our fellow humans. Yeah. It's love that I call that is patient, kind, honest, and understanding. And it's not boasting of ill will. What if we actually flip that script for a day or two and quit going to so much negative and pointing it out and showing gratitude? What Jane, I love Miss Jane. She said, what are you freshly grateful for? Yeah. In one of our meetings before. And it's just like, that's right. It's what it's fresh, what's real, but it lingers on throughout the day. So tell me about, what are you freshly grateful for?
Oh, today. So I'm freshly grateful for cold weather because you and I don't live that far apart. And wow, we had a cold snap. Yeah. We had a long weekend. And this morning, I mean, this is the first time this year or this season that I've worn a sweater. So mm-hmm. I love cold weather.
You're not from Georgia. Come on now. Like, when
I was born in Georgia. I wasn't born in Georgia. I was born in Ohio, moved to Georgia when I was two. But I love cold weather, you know, because for me, here's the difference. You can layer on enough to get warm. When it's hot, when it's hot and humid, there's just nothing to do, right? You're just laying there soaking in sweat here in the South. So that's one thing. The other thing, you know, okay. Here's something that just keeps lingering with me, Emily. I am incredibly grateful for, and I realized earlier today I was talking to some friends about this. This may be my number one lesson of 2020. My number one lesson may be I finally got to the place where I take imperfect action on inspired ideas and realize it's okay.
That's powerful.
Because what I've done for so many years, Enneagram type one perfectionist, you know, you have this idea, you want to do something and you work and you work and you work to perfect with the belief, the misaligned belief that you can actually perfect something, right? Mm-hmm. I imperfect action is the only action I'm capable of taking.
You're human.
Right. But there are times I used to, no, I can perfect this. So you wouldn't do it. Rather than getting it to 80%, releasing it, and then figuring out the rest. No, thinking you got to get it to 97, 98, 99% and never doing anything. So this year, I've done more things that were in coupled with imperfect action. So I'm grateful for that. And then one more, we're talking about gratitude. You know, the other thing, I learned this, I started discovering this last year, but it's multiplied. Every time we do a gratitude challenge, we're starting one next week, another 10-day gratitude challenge. But every time I do it, you said something that triggered this thought. Gratitude is actually, physically, literally better experienced together with other people. So when you hear other people express gratitude or see them express gratitude, it multiplies and magnifies your gratitude. All of a sudden you're saying, oh my gosh, I'm grateful for that too. You know, and it's like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. And so gratitude really is better together.
And it's so good because what it makes me think of is, because I'm not, I do it with my team, but I also do it with my family. We have CEO meetings, and we've been doing our CEO meetings is basically where the whole family comes together, me and my husband, my two kids. And we talk about what are we grateful for? And we talk about things that suck, things that are good. And we just go into this whole rhythm. But since my kids have been little, I asked them, what are three blessings in this moment? That's my prompt I've always said for gratitude. And I've done this. It's amazing to see this with my clients, even my large clients, Fortune 500. I sent out a text to everybody randomly throughout the month. And it says, what are three blessings in this moment? And at first it was like, people are like, oh, they're going to think this is religious because it says blessings. I'm like, no, it's gratitude. And I gave the science behind why gratitude is a health story and a safety story. But all that to say is that has always been the number one top recommended thing that they loved. They loved that they could do that and they could express it. And then whenever we told people what people other, with permission, of course, what people were grateful for, it's like, yes,
yeah.
It's just taking that moment of power during that time. Yeah. But it's so cool with my kids seeing them do it and how quicker you get with it. So gratitude is a muscle.
It is a muscle. You know, the other thing I said, what am I not sorry for? Encourage gratitude, especially in a year when it's been easy for people to be ingrateful, ungrateful, whichever way you choose to word that. I was in had some tough things happen like we all have. This isn't a pity party. I'm just saying in the middle of that, a good friend of mine introduced me to a quotation that has become my favorite quotation on gratitude. It comes from Ann Voskamp, the writer, and Ann wrote. And so let's just look at this. This year has been a year where so many people have experienced so many bad things. And there's been a lot of regret over things. And there's so much uncertainty about the future. And you know, back in April and May, we thought that uncertainty would be gone by September, October, November. And now tomorrow starts December. And the uncertainty is only magnified. Well, Anne said this, no amount of regret changes the past. No amount of anxiety changes the future. Any amount of gratitude changes the present. And that's another reason that I'm unapologetically bold about gratitude. Gratitude has the power to shift. So you watching us right now or listening to the recording, what Emily said, you know, because I know there are people that go, right now, there aren't three things good in my life right now. I mean, really, three? Maybe one. I'd be hard-pressed to come up with one. No, there are three things. You could probably come up with 13, 30, 300, right? But people go, they're not three things. Okay, you're still alive. Let's start there, right? Wow, if you have the means to participate in this conversation, it's live, whether that's delayed, you're listening to the broadcast of this, that means you have technology, that means you have access to the internet, that all of these things that puts you probably in the top, at least the top 20% of wealthy people on the planet, if not in the top 10, but you drive down the street and you look at the neighborhood across the street and you go, oh, my life's so miserable. No, it's not. No, it's not. You got a long list.
I think that's the power of it, too. And it reminds me, so I do this in all of my classes. I've been doing it for about 4 years, 5 years now. And I always tell this one story of whenever I'd done it. And I always ask people to get their phones out and put it for some random time in the future. And I had this lady do it. And it was, she set it for midnight. And I always tell people, never set it for midnight if you don't. But for her, it was the divine timing. It was the universe's timing, whatever you want to call it. It was the timing that she needed it because she had just received her divorce papers.
Wow.
And that popped up. Mm. And whenever she was at the literal end of her rope that she did not know if she could keep going, she sent me that email. She goes, thank you. She thanked me. I'm like, I don't know how to receive this. She thanked me. And then she said, I remembered, I have a good job. I have my kids and I have something to live for.
Yeah.
It may not be how I wanted it in life, but I am grateful for this moment. And that's so important because even the research that connects back to that is the longevity. There's a lot of research between gratitude and longevity that is so unique and so cool. And that's one of my favorites to look at is the Nun study, which is one of them. And it looks at basically at their end of their life.
Yeah.
The people that had more gratitude, had more gracious writing from whenever they were 22, that they actually lived longer by 10%, you know, and we know that gratitude increases your life by 17%. If you just improve it. So it literally is a game changer.
Well, and a life changer, I think is what you said. Not just game changer, it's life changing.
It is
life changing. And yeah, so how, and this is not to say bad things aren't happening. There's plenty of bad things happening to people. But even in the midst of that, in our darkest moments, there's always something for which we can be freshly grateful. So Jane, you mentioned Jane Adshead Grant is a Brit, you know, and she says this with her lovely British accent, but you know, what are you freshly grateful for? And that's something I love is helping people. So here was the other thing that kind of led me on this journey. I'd had a mentor years ago that had said, before your feet hit the floor, when you're getting out of bed in the morning, think of three things to be grateful for. And so, Emily, I had done that for years. And maybe it's like after 3 years of doing that, that I realize, okay, my whole list is about nine things that I cycle through, you know, the same three every couple of days. And then, so I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my business. Or I'm grateful, you know, and then somebody says, well, gosh, maybe you should be a little more specific with your gratitude. Okay, I'm grateful for my wife, Gwen. I'm grateful for our son, John. Okay, I mean, that was like the specificity of gratitude. But then all of a sudden you start thinking, wow, I'm grateful for sight. I'm grateful for the gift of smell, the gift of taste, the gift of touch, the gift of hearing, the gift of speech, you know, and we start just going through and all of a sudden you can make these really long lists. Now, I want to ask you something. I don't know how much more time we have left, but, you know, this is a gratitude question that doesn't really use the gratitude word in it. But I'm wondering, and you joining us, whenever it is you're joining us, I'd love to ask you, what is something you treasure more now towards the end of 2020 or into 2021, whenever it is you're catching this, what is something you treasure more now than you did at the beginning of this year?
That's so good. And I know for me, that's such a powerful question because it also has been around what I've been struggling on. And so, and it's that struggle with patience. Mm. And I'm blessed for my challenges, which I have had my, I'm a person of faith, and people that have listened to this, y'all know this, that me and God have had a lot of conversations. I've had a lot of yelling matches because I don't understand his plan and it doesn't match up to mine at times. But that I have so much gratitude for this season of patience that I'm in. Mm. It sucks. It doesn't make it fun, but I'm still grateful for it because the learning process, because it's like even today I posted something about books because I'm just always in this phase of learning. I want to learn something new every day. And it's like, ah, my people, there were so many people that commented on things. And it's like the kiss of death is to be the genius with 10,000 helpers. Instead, be the genius with 10,000 geniuses. Yeah. And I think that epitomizes what is coming to life for me. So I think that's a powerful question because it goes back to that freshly aspect of it. So I want to reverse that back on you. What's yours?
So I helped a friend craft this question for a meeting, and then I was in the meeting and I hadn't really given it any thought. And in that moment, and it's so funny because this response connected me to a new friend. She was also in the meeting, Kiva, my new friend Kiva. I said this, and I said, you know, of all the things I treasure more now, there's one. I treasure hugs. More now. I know you're a hugger.
Mm-hmm.
and I also treasure snuggles with our granddaughter, Emma. And we went months not being able to hug, right? Because, and it's like, wow. And then there's also research. I don't know it off the top of my head, but research about the efficacy and the necessity of physical touch, hugs. We need hugs, right? And here we've been banned from hugging. So that's one of those things I realized, oh my gosh, I treasure hugs because you used to just hug people every time you met them, especially in our family. We're a family of huggers. Gosh, then you weren't able to hug. And I had a friend who has, we exchanged this message this morning. Her daughter's having some really serious mental health issues. And I said, give her a hug for me. And she said, oh, I can't wait to hug her again. And I'm thinking, I'm sorry, right now. Oh, okay. So I'm going to say something politically incorrect for some people, right? Figure it out. There's some people dying for a hug right now. I mean, literally dying for a hug, and figure out a way to give that person a hug, because there are people dying because they've lost, you know, that connection to people. So,
and that's why actually me and one of my team, we've talked about this, and we're actually doing an event coming up called Adapting Without Snapping. Because what we found too is that our fear, and we know it's based off how the human is designed. Hugs actually released oxytocin, that loving grandmother, the thing that builds trust, that brings community, that brings the stuff that we need as humans, literally have to have it. That there are going to be more people that die of mental health disparities than there will be of COVID.
Yeah.
Because they can't. So, yes, hugs. And if you can't, handwritten notes. Are so, but the thing is, and for children too, if you have a child that's having a hissy fit, a 20-second hug, literally 20 seconds of holding will help them start to release that oxytocin, which actually reduces their cortisol, their anger, and increases their safety and their serotonin. So those are some things that you can literally do that are practical.
Yeah.
And it means the world to people.
Months ago, seeing this family that had figured it out and they'd put the thing in their doorway where they had this, you know, places to put their arms through that were protected to reach around grandmother, grandfather, all, whatever, in the child. And they found a way to hug. Because really, so hugs are something I took for granted.
Mm.
I took for granted. And now I treasure so much more than I ever had before.
Hug. And isn't it ironic that comes with this, that 2020 is the year of vision, or for 2020 is, but it is, it's like the year of vision, the year of clarity for me. It's really, again, it has sucked. I'm not going to take away the suckiness of it, especially being a hugger, as Kevin knows. But the power to bring it back to gratitude that I've learned, the vision and the clarity that I've had of the need for what I call those oxytocin releases. We now call it the human connector because my team doesn't like my nerdiness.
I love your nerdiness.
But some of those things, you know, those are so powerful, like our safety and how we are literally designed, and we are designed for gratitude. So, two-part final question, because I really want you to talk about some of your new stuff, that specifically some new awesome things that my listeners might could go buy. But before that, somebody is apologizing. They're saying, I'm sorry for always encouraging gratitude. What would you say to them?
Stop it. No. No. Well, why? Why do you feel you need to apologize for being grateful? And I would think the answer is that my being grateful magnifies somebody else feeling lack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that okay, they're in scarcity, I'm in abundance. And I'd say, no, gratitude is the gateway to abundance. So help them find something to be grateful for, to shift the focus and to realize that they have a lot more than they think they do in this moment. So
beautiful. And second part, where can people find you? And what are you working on that I'm really excited about?
Oh, gosh, you can find me on LinkedIn, Kevin Monroe. I guess I was early enough that I got the original Kevin Monroe on LinkedIn. You can find me online. You can find me at thisextraordinary.life. thisextraordinary.life, host a community and a podcast by that name. And gosh, you know what? I do this, Emily. You can WhatsApp me, you can call, you can text +1 404-713-0713. It's probably best that you text first if you're going to call, because I don't always take unknown callers, but that is my cell phone number, and I was inspired by Bob Goff to give out my number. So there's my number.
Awesome. And you have some cards that came out.
Oh, so we did this. I host these gratitude challenges. And Kat Hase is the artist that joined us and created these beautiful prompts that images that accompany our prompts. And we now have the gratitude challenge card deck. 54 images and prompts to guide and grow your gratitude. And you go to gratitudegiftshop.com, gratitudegiftshop.com. Order your cards. You can have them in time to give as Christmas gifts.
Yay! I'm so excited for it.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for being an amazing friend. Mm. And for all that listened, I hope you have an amazing and blessed day.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Unapologetically Bold, I'm Not Sorry For. If this touched you in any way, please like and subscribe and share with your friends as we continue the message of being unapologetically bold by being hot humans who are humble, open, and transparent. See you next time.